Hey there.
You listening to the podcast. To
this podcast.
You are in for a treat today.
It's candy.
Everyone's showing ass.
And whole.
Welcome to Trans in Love.
Where we're trans people.
In love.
And we talk about
being trans.
And love.
This is a podcast that we do together. And today we talk about a multitude of things. We talk about my FFS.
We talk about Elle's FFS.
Uh-huh.
We talked about aging.
We talked about our bodies changing and the beast of dysphoria and how we navigate.
We talk about seeking arrangements and rentmen.com.
Yeah. And we talked about being in love and trans. So
enjoy.
Enjoy, my friends. Here we go.
We're trans in love.
And we're here to make it clear. New jingle. Okay, no, here's the jingle.
All I want to do is hang out with you forever and a day till the sun burns up. We never seem to run out of things to say. So let's talk about being trans in love.
We're back and we're better than ever.
We're here and we're better than clever people.
We were gone, but now we're back.
I got a new face, and now we're back. So we took a little break. I had to get a new face, and then I had to, like, rest about that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then we got sad. Well, I got depressed.
Right.
And so every time we thought about the podcast, it sort of just was this, whoa.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating? The last time I had gender-affirming surgery, I got depressed after for months.
Mm-hmm.
This time I got gender-affirming surgery, you got depressed. What's with that?
I said, my turn.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Just be honest.
I think that it had a little bit to do with that we weren't having sex that much.
Yeah.
Because you were recovering. Your whole face was recovering.
Totally.
And you need your face for the way that we have sex.
Unpopular opinion. You need
we
your face.
We do penetration
for sex.
With Elle's entire head.
I put my head all the way in, up and out.
Yeah.
Back around.
It's a lot of in and out, in and out, in and out.
Full head.
Full head.
Yeah.
Isn't that how people do head?
Right? I'm going to give you head, and it's just giving you my head on the silver platter.
That's what I was used to.
Yeah. That's the thing that's tricky, is that my face was off limits. And you know what? It still kind of feels off limits.
Yeah, it does.
A lot less than immediately after surgery, of course, because I'm less swollen and I'm getting, like, more used to having a new face.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, okay, let's just talk about this.
Yeah, let's just talk about, what are we talking
about? Let's talk about FFS.
Okay.
So I got facial feminization surgery. Whoa! Hold for applause. Thank you. Anyway, I hope you all applauded. If you didn't, you're not real allies. Well, I got facial feminization surgery. We went to Spain about 2 months ago. Isn't that crazy? Over 2 months ago.
Feels like over 2 months ago.
It for sure was over 2 months ago. It was over 9 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got my face peeled back. They shaved down my brow bone and my orbital rims. And then I also got my nose peeled up. And then they gave me a new nose, shaved down my nose bones. Also, they shaved down my trachea. Open my throat down.
And open your throat right down.
and then they shaved my trachea.
Your tracheal horns.
My tracheal horns.
They were like, these are some horns.
Yeah.
That was a bad Spanish.
Yeah,
accent.
These are some horns.
They're like, these are horns and we'll take them away.
Yeah. But it was a very cool experience. Honestly, right before surgery, I was giddy. I was bouncing up and down. I was dancing.
And the nurses were all like,
you okay?
What's wrong with you?
Because I was so excited. Like,
are you scared? And you were like, no. And they were like, oh, that's good. That's cool.
Which was unexpected. I could not have contrived that. But I was just like, I don't know. I just felt so ready. It just felt so exciting to know that, like, this was, like, the last few moments of having a face that I didn't really like. And I wasn't worried about. I just wasn't worried, which I was not expecting. Like, I was anxious. Like, I was, anxious, excited. But I don't think I was, like, spiraling anxious.
Mm-mm.
And, there are videos of me, like, literally walking to the cab at, like, 6 a.m.,
Dancing
and then in the cab dancing, It was really exciting. I was making jokes right before I went under. And then I woke up and I was making more jokes.
Yeah. They didn't know what to do with you.
No.
They really didn't. I think partially the language barrier, because we were in Spain. But also I think they weren't used to somebody who was cracking that many jokes.
Yeah.
Like, even not on drugs, too. Like, right. Before surgery.
Right, totally. And then after surgery, I woke up and I did not, like, it felt like I didn't have surgery.
Yeah.
And mostly for like a little bit.
For like a second.
Yeah. For like an hour or two.
You're like, I feel fine. And they were like, you're not even swollen. And everyone was just like, wow, you're so lucky.
Yeah. And oh, were we wrong? I mean, I was lucky in a lot of ways. But that first night was horrible. Like, yeah. But I remember I woke up out of surgery and immediately I had a really bad headache, mm-hmm. but I was so like doped up that I felt really cognizant, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't.
You kept saying that, but yeah. then you were really on, you were high.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what I've noticed is like every time you've been on any sort of painkiller that alters your mood, you're like, I don't even feel anything. I think that I feel pretty like I'm all mm-hmm. here, but then
you notice that you're like that I'm different. Yeah, totally. Yeah, but it was fun. You know, we were singing Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas.
We haven't stopped since. I got weeks. That Boom Boom Pow,
them chickens jacking my style. Those chickens are jacking me off, and I didn't ask for permission.
And that's the end of this song. That's where that song stops.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, it was really painful.
It was.
That first night, because like there was
a lot of pain.
Stuff all up in my nose, all over my face. I was wrapped up. I could barely breathe. And my mouth, I could only breathe through my mouth. And my mouth was so dry.
And
so
I thought, you're going to be so used to, you're already pretty much a mouth breather. No offense. Not in a non-derog. Non-derog.
Hashtag derog.
No. But you tend to breathe through your mouth sometimes.
Yeah, I do. Because my nostrils were all messed up and they opened me up, but now I'm swollen, so I still can't really breathe through my nose too well.
But hopefully it'll get better and better and better.
Yeah, it is. What do you think, chat?
What do you think? I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, but like, so it was really painful and they did not give me really strong painkillers. In Spain, we found out that they're really kind of stingy with the painkillers.
They are.
But I also think it's because like coming from the US where they, like, I got Percocet from getting my wisdom teeth out and more than I needed. My body is just not used to really like experiencing pain after surgery. And they're like, well, it's a part of it. Like, it's going to be kind of hard. And but it's different for everyone, of course. But I was out of that hospital 2 days after surgery with ibuprofen and a dream. The dream is paracetamol, which is Tylenol.
Yeah. were like, just switch these off. Mm-hmm. You'll be good as golden.
Okay. You'll be uncomfortable, but we won't be in pain. I was like, ow.
And they were like, so discomfort you're feeling?
I'm like, no, I'd say it's pain.
I'd say it's pain. I think it's like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's weird.
It hurt. It hurt for a week. And then like after a week, it's just like the next day and next day and next day, it just was so much better.
Yeah.
And I got the bandages off and it's like recovery. It felt like recovery was over at that point, even though it really wasn't.
No.
When I got the bandages off, I was so incredibly euphoric. And it's funny, I look back on videos then, and like I was still really swollen. Mm-hmm. Like I did not look like how I look right now. And I was so happy. I was just like beaming. I went into that experience like only dreaming that I would have that moment where they take the cast off and I look at myself and I have that like everything clicks moment.
Yeah.
But I was really trying to release that because it was like, that might not happen. Everyone tells me that like FFS is a waiting game. The healing is really long. It's going to be a long time still until I see the full results. But they took the bandages off and I was just like skipping.
Yeah. Hitting people with your umbrella.
Yep. Yeah. Skipping through the streets. So I wasn't allowed to be in the sun. So I had a little umbrella.
That umbrella was like a third person in our
life. It was, yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, that was really trippy, walking around all swollen and like looking like I was beat up in public.
Like, but then we would pass another trans person who had gotten FFS, and it would be like, it was just like,
we like touch tips of our nose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your head out of the penis.
Right.
So, and since then, like, I'd say right when we got home, it was weeks of like utter euphoria, still skipping. And then I got kind of burnt out. I think, like, honestly, it was like a chemical burnout from having so many endorphins firing that then, and then like, my swelling at the beginning was like pretty even all over my face. So I was getting a better idea of the proportions of my results. And then as the swelling started to like melt down with gravity, like my face still, like every day I wake up, it looks a little different, a little less even. And so it's hard to like go from being like, oh my God.
I will say your swelling looks a lot better.
It does. It does look a lot better. I still feel like, well, especially in my nose, like I know I have like a cute little button nose on its way, but right now, because the swelling for nose jobs takes at least a year to fully go down, right now is like the worst of the swelling, kind of around the tip. So like I miss my like cute little button, but I don't mind because I still like it how it looks now.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, but it's hard not, it's like, imagine if you like wake up every day and your face is just a little different. It's like, I know a lot of people, other people won't notice it, but like I notice it. And it's a really trippy experience, and also it's really exciting to like just get used to my new face. But when I look at old videos, it helps me kind of like remember how much I love it.
Yeah. That's why those before and afters are always so fun to do, I think.
Yeah.
Like, people, there was one time I posted a before and after on Instagram, and a trans guy was like, you know, you don't have to do this. You know, this is like porn for like cis allies or whatever. Mm. Like, it's not like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And it was like him trying to give me permission to not have to post my before. Mm-hmm. But like, not everyone has the same experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of their before.
Yeah.
And like, I feel really, I just feel a lot of like good feelings when I look at my befores and compare those two things. And like, as a trans person, I really got a lot of hope from looking at other trans people's before and afters before I, you know, transitioned or whatever, even during.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, like, there's a perspective to, you know, there are several ways to look at the before and afters.
Absolutely.
And I think, like, I don't do things for cis people.
No.
I don't make anything for them.
Nope.
And if they like my stuff, great, but it's not for them.
Absolutely
not. It's not with them in mind.
Yeah.
So, like, people can just, like, assume that I'm
catering to
them. I'm catering to whoever they think I am, but, like, it's always for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. And I see the point where it's like a lot of times those before and afters people are obsessed with them because it like, it presents a really like reductive way of looking at transness of being like, I once was a boy and now I'm a girl or like whatever. But the thing is like, that's not how at least I experience it or you have experienced it. Mm-mm. Like, and if that's how it's received, the problem isn't in the presentation, it's in how it's received and celebrated. And I think, like, for me, those seeing the before and seeing, like, especially up against where I am now, like, helps me remember how euphoric I am now. Because a lot of times, like I spent so long measuring my physicality on my ability to live up to this image of man, like that gaze doesn't go away as much as my body changes. Like, it's easier to have a relationship with it and like to quiet the voice, but still to this day I'm looking at myself through that lens at a lot of times. And when I see how I looked when my goal was to measure up to that lens, I realize how much I don't measure up anymore. Like, it helps me, like, rid myself of that gaze, seeing the before and afters of myself. And I think that creating those videos with that intention, that is what people are receiving and why people love it so much, mm-hmm. is like the euphoria of seeing yourself, like, quote unquote, after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's like when people, when trans people are like policing each other in that way where they're like, you know, you don't have to do this. It's a lot of projection and a lot of assumption about like what our motivations are or like what's inspiring the video in the first place. Cause like, you know, they don't know why we're making it,
right?
Why we're doing the before and after. They don't know that it's helpful. Mm-hmm. They're just thinking, oh, this is like, you know, pandering to cis people's like really narrow idea of what transness is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think like it's valid. Mm-hmm. And also it's like, I'm not going to blame a trans person for perpetuating something that like a narrow perspective that a cis person might have, because it's not the trans person's fault.
Right. Absolutely.
It's not our job to broaden the narrative for other people if they're the ones assuming that it's narrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we don't have to share every single aspect of our transness and how like broad and expansive it might be.
Yeah.
Every single time we talk about it.
Exactly.
That's such bullshit.
You're so right, baby. And like I have done so much work to make sure that my page is painting a complete picture of my transness, but I can't necessarily do that in every video.
No.
So if one goes viral and that's what everyone sees, but they don't see the rest, it's like, I think that's like a big downfall of social media, is that people believe, myself included, that every video needs to capture every nuance of the experience or else it's harmful.
Right.
And the thing is, that's the truth of how it functions, though.
Totally.
So like, I feel like it's a balance to have a relationship with that, of being intentional about at least the language that I use in the caption of my before and afters, you know, and or even like replying to comments that validate a reductive view of transness, you know, like there's a way to include nuance underneath that.
Right.
And I'll do that as best as I can, but I'm not going to stop myself from making a video that, one, I know is going to do well, and two, makes me so happy to see.
Right.
And like I've done a lot of before and after since FFS, and it's so cool to finally be in a place in my transition where I feel like the before and after is actually significant.
Yeah.
Like this is the first time in my life that I've actually truly felt that.
Oh.
Like, and it's, so that's really, really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. One thing that I've been kind of struggling with, and I've talked about this on my stories, is that like thousands of people have said, you're beautiful before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fascinating exploring why that's bothered me. And I think I pinned it down.
Okay.
And I've shared this on my stories already, but I think it's worth bringing up again, is that like, it's hard to feel like, one, even if it's not the intention, the comment is kind of minimizing my FFS journey to one of like beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Like my goal was to like look more beautiful, and when my goal was to look more like myself, more feminine, and if that makes me, help me feel more beautiful, that's a consequence of that, you know, but that's not the heart of it. And I think a lot of people like see this surgery as the same thing as like a facelift, like a cosmetic surgery. And in a lot of places in the world, even in Spain, it's still considered a cosmetic surgery. But these are really specific surgeries that aren't done to like every human, except for like the nose job, you know, but like the forehead surgery and the tracheal shave, like these are very specifically like trans surgeries. And even if it was cosmetic, like we'd be having a different conversation, but like, and there's no shame in that either. But it's hard to feel misunderstood in that way, is that this is about alignment, not beautifying or beautification. And also, it's hard when I've experienced so much pain towards a specific image of myself for people to express affection towards it when I'm trying to celebrate where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you feel the same way?
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, not about my before.
Yeah.
I was a really weird girl, and that, but I was really pretty before I got weird. Mm-hmm. I think I was like, I went through a phase where I tried to be like hyper femme or at least femme, for a couple years, like 7th and 8th grade, and then 9th grade I gave it up, chopped my hair off real short, and just got weird. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't get the same. Okay, I know why. I'm not being called handsome before and after,
right?
Like the same as you. You know, I when I came out, I started hormones really quickly, and I started changing really fast. And like my before wasn't really a significant time for me. Yeah. It was like a short blip compared to, you know, once I started passing.
Yeah.
So I don't really get a lot of those comments. You know,
yeah, that makes sense.
When I do a before and after, it's just sort of like, wow, good for you.
Yeah, like, which is like about, which is definitely rooted in misogyny.
Yes, exactly. Because yeah. I was not a very like, I was hot for a lesbian, I would say.
Yeah.
But like, it's not like I only improved in a way that was like, I don't know how to explain it. I think it's like, I got super masculine and I did trans real quick and real well, real fast. Mm-hmm. And I think that the comments I receive are mostly just about how well I'm passing now. So people don't really focus on validating or affirming my before.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like, wow, you're bangable.
Yeah,
like,
you did it. Good job.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. It feels like choosing to do facial feminization surgery was such a hard decision. It's a huge decision. Yeah. And for people to say like, gosh, you were already so beautiful. It's like, there's just a hint of subtext of saying you didn't need to. Right. There were a lot of people who said, I already thought you were so feminine before, but it's like, I wasn't saying that I wasn't, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's just a lack of nuance in the way that people perceive like, MTF transitioning, you know what I mean?
Whoa, what is this, 2009?
I know, right? It's like I think a lot of people still view like men and women as like polar opposites.
Yes.
So if there is any level of passability before facial feminization surgery, then it's not necessary because you're not all the way at the opposite, you know? Right. Like,
But I also feel like those comments are really, really meant to be compliments.
Yes,
somehow,
I agree.
To be like, just so you know, you weren't disgusting before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, just so you know, like the way that you were moving through the world before wasn't a complete failure.
Absolutely. Which honestly is valid. Like, I agree that I was beautiful before.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, I don't need that affirmed. And it feels like people feel like they need to affirm that for me as if I don't already, like, I knew I was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I knew objectively that I was beautiful. And I knew that even if I didn't get facial feminization surgery, that it was okay. That I was a valid trans person, that my beauty was at like lovable and yada, yada, yada. And that like, I see that as a truth for everyone. And so it's just interesting that that's the most popular comment.
Yeah.
And there were some people who said to me that like they lost a lot of weight, and that's a similar comment that they get too. Is that like, they're like, well, you were beautiful before and you're beautiful now. It's like saying like,
it's like, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's not the topic.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think it is that like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real misunderstanding. Even if people know that isn't what it's about, like the inclination for that to be the comment is sort of like a, you know, there's so much more to say. It's like,
I know. And I get it too. Like as your partner, like I feel the inclination to like affirm like your face before as like beautiful and perfect. And I don't know what it, I mean, I'm sure I can go into what that is, but like it is real. Like it's a real pull to like make sure that like that like she's loved too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe because that's the face like I fell in love with. Yeah. And there's like a part of me that feels like I need her to know that mm-hmm. she's loved.
Yeah.
Too, even though like she's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And but that feels like that just it all feels so like weirdly subconscious psychological bullshit that is probably has a lot to do with internalized misogyny.
Mm.
And like maybe it's also just that like we don't navigate this very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like so much stuff comes up that we don't expect
yeah, to absolutely. Come up
about like grief and,
yeah.
and you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think maybe there's a part of why like my spirit is rejecting it is because there, I need to let that go, that mm-hmm. version of myself go.
Yeah.
I need to detach from it and I need to like realign myself with the face that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that maybe there's probably an overcorrection where it's like expressing affection towards that isn't helping me in the process totally. Of separating from it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it feels unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know, like I'd rather get affirmed about how I look now.
Yeah.
Cause this is what I'm trying to create a bond with right. this new image.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that just came to me and that it makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm sure there's going to come a time where I'm more physically and emotionally able to accept that comment.
Yeah.
But definitely. Immediately after surgery, like it's not the time for me to muse on my affection towards what I'm leaving behind.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
Yeah. Thanks.
You look hot.
Thanks. Now. I know.
You're so much prettier now.
Ugly before, beautiful after.
Good job.
You see, that's it. What I want people to say.
You did it right.
Just kidding.
Wow. You just really kidding, just left kidding. That in the dust.
Yeah. I got a new face.
A whole ass new face.
It's not like all new. I've seen some people after surgery who didn't know I was getting the surgery who like, you know, it's like they still recognize me.
No, yeah, you look like you.
Yeah, I don't look that different, but I also look so different yeah. from me. You so do. Cool.
They did it. They did a really good job.
I agree.
Keeping you looking like you.
Thanks, facial team. The team for the face.
Facial team.
Okay, talk to me.
Talk to you.
What's on your mind?
Well, okay. In the same vein of like physical beauty and whatever, mm-hmm. like I've been going through some interesting feelings about aging.
Mm.
As a trans person mm-hmm. specifically.
Yeah.
And not feeling like I know how to do it properly or in a way that feels like graceful, I guess. And like I look at Jeff Goldblum as like a really great inspo for aging. Cause
trans mask inspo.
I feel like he's just aged. Jack Black is also a great option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trans mask icon Jack Black.
Absolutely.
Just like folks who have like embraced it in a way that like doesn't feel cringy.
Yeah.
Where they're not trying to be young, but they're not trying to like give up either. They're not like giving up on being fun and having a good time. They're just like, they're like probably just not thinking about it that much.
That's real.
And I feel like I'm thinking about it pretty much all the time.
Yeah. Go deeper into like what is cringy you notice like
okay
about
aging
yeah certain about... like about like what's the potential for cringiness.
Okay, well my dad's a great example. We're not in communication so I can say this because whatever, but me and my dad is somebody who has had like facial surgery mm-hmm. to look younger and he is somebody who just like I don't see as aging gracefully. He's like every year I feel like he's trying to reverse the clock even more by who he hangs out with and what he does with his time. And maybe that's a huge reason why I'm so afraid, because I'm feeling myself. I'm feeling the pull to reverse the clock now.
I hear that.
And instead of like getting preventative Botox like I used to in my mid-20s,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I need Botox so that I can look like I did in my mid-20s. It's not preventative anymore. It's yeah. like I want to go back. And I'm 30 years old. Like, I'm still very yeah, young.
We're very young.
But it's like, this is when it starts. This Absolutely. Is when the seeds start getting watered by yeah. anxiety and fear and insecurity. And mm-hmm. I think I'm hyper-focusing on it because I don't want to end up like my dad.
No, I understand.
You know?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, this is the point in our lives when we're going to start noticing wrinkles and gray hairs.
Yes.
And it's like... it's like the growing up has ended.
Yes, we have grown up. We are grown ups now.
Yes.
It really stops at 29, I think, like where it's just like it. There's something that changes at 30. And most people who have talked to me about aging who are older than me, like in their 40s or whatever, they're like, your 30s are all about you just stopping giving a fuck.
Yeah.
You're going to just let go and like just it's going to be awesome. And I don't feel that way.
Yeah, but I feel like you've already done so much work. Transness kind of, it's interesting how when you come out as trans, like it's like you become a child again, but totally. Also you're learning lessons that a lot of adults don't learn until they're much older.
Definitely.
It's like these parallel experiences.
For sure.
And like we're trying, like when I first came out as trans, like I was wearing baby doll dresses. I was wearing all pink. My entire life was pink.
We got to overlay some. Yeah. Some photos.
And floral.
You're
and,
so cute.
And I felt juvenile.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I was having deeply spiritual reckonings with who I am, what matters to me, what to hold on to,
yeah.
how to like guide myself through life. And so it's weird. It feels like we've already learned a lot of those lessons that a lot of cis people who tell us, like the 30s is where we're learning them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe now it's like when you learn a lesson, it's not just learned, period, and done. You know, they come back up and then we sink deeper into them.
Totally.
And I think that's what's happening.
It might be. I think there's a lot going on here because like there's that. And then there's also like I've identified so strongly with like being young and being like having this like Peter Pan syndrome ever since I was little, like little. I remember on my third birthday, I just have this like really vivid memory of weeping to my mom and being like, I don't want to grow up. I'm so scared. Aww. I don't want to grow up. Because I associated growing up with like losing sense of wonder. Mm-hmm. Being like boring and whatever. And obviously that's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, but there's just this like, maybe I just didn't prepare to grow up too. Like I really was hell bent on dying before I was 25 or at 25.
Wow.
That was my plan. Mm. So when I was a teenager and I was like a chain smoking 17-year-old, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to quit smoking when I'm 25. Or when I'm 25.
Yeah.
Cause like I wasn't going to be here anymore.
Mm.
So now I'm 30. I'm like 5 years past my like, you know, now these are like 5 years I got bonus years.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every year is going to feel like a bonus year after that plan. Because I don't want to kill myself anymore.
It's awesome.
Thanks. But but it's like, yeah, like I just didn't, I did not plan to get old.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Like I did not have an image of what I would look like when I was older. And that might be a like normal experience.
Sure.
Like, it's hard to visualize that.
Yeah.
But also I think there's the trans of it all. It's like, it's sort of coming into focus as I'm getting older. As I'm growing up and as I'm like falling more in alignment with myself, when I looked into the future before transitioning, like it was just empty.
Mm-hmm.
There was like no view of how I could live life.
No.
Maybe kind of like a movie or like dreams of Broadway or, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, but
it, no image,
no
of
actual,
like your face and your body.
Yeah.
And, like, what you would look like.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of like a part of the fun of it. It's like, we're
Whoa.
Just going to figure it out. It's easy to say that as we're young and beautiful.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess like I mean, a couple days ago, I really broke down because I looked in the mirror and I hadn't worked out, and I haven't worked out in a very long time consistently. And I used to maintain like a pretty much like, I just used to maintain the same weight and the same shape of my body without having to try that hard. And then all of a sudden I looked in the mirror and I saw like a different silhouette than I had ever really seen post transition, where like my hips looked bigger in a way that was like not okay with my dysphoria. And it felt reminiscent of like what my mom's body shape kind of looked like, the shape of this
is a podcast.
You might the have shape to... of the shape of water.
Water.
No, it's like, you know, like an hourglass figure, whatever. And which is like one of my worst nightmares to have as a trans man, I guess. And it's like a, it goes far beyond like being able to just think my way out of it and know that it's a beautiful shape. It's like, I do know that.
Yeah.
And also my dysphoria yells at me that it's wrong for my body. And so I ripped the mirror off the wall. And you got sure really upset. And I wept. I sobbed. Because it's like, wow, I guess like that's a big part of what I'm afraid of with aging is like, what if like my like lack of dysphoria has a lot to do with just being young.
I so resonate with that. And I think a lot, I'm sure a lot of trans people resonate with that. And it's interesting hearing you say that because I thought that, that was a very like, woman thing to like connect my femininity to my youth. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And connect beauty to my femininity. And like all of those things are very stringed together in a like patriarchal society, which but it is interesting that like I do like I started estrogen and I got FFS because I was so afraid that as I got older I would start to grow up and look like my dad.
Right.
And that was my worst nightmare. And I feel like I still have that fear that as I get older, I'm going to look more masculine.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because I have no proof that that will happen, but it is a fear. It's like an ominous thing where it's like, I want to like hold on to the moments where I feel like I euphoric and where I look at myself and I feel in alignment. And the thing is that a lot of times I will look the same on two different days and feel different about how I look on two different days.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Completely.
So it really is a mental thing, but it's not always something we have control over, like this dysphoria beast.
That's the thing that scares me the most because I've like worked so hard on my like mental wellness and my perspectives on, you know, this physical body and like how temporary my time is here in this body, in this realm. And I can get existential and spiritual about it for some temporary relief.
Yeah.
But like, unfortunately, those perspectives have rarely been able to touch my dysphoria.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Of course. Like, it's like when you learn a lesson, you can know it, but you have to live it.
Yeah.
And a lot of like we have control over our brains and that can inform our emotions, but it feels like dysphoria is different than other emotions, than different than other like emotional or like spiritual beings. It does feel like this beast that has a life and mind of its own.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to reach. Mm-hmm. It feels like when it comes up, it takes over and it takes charge, and we can't think our way out of it.
That's why gender affirming medical care is so life saving
because
it really does give the relief that we're searching for. I think
definitely
by being able to change our perspectives on things or whatever. Like it's like being on testosterone was the answer for a lot of my dysphoria.
Yeah.
And then I got on it and it fixed a lot of it. Yes. And then like, I think that's why Pussy Boy has been so transformative, because it's such a, it's like, how the fuck did that help?
Right.
It's one word.
Yeah.
But it has helped.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle.
Yeah.
That's why it feels like a miracle.
Absolutely.
So few things that aren't medical help.
That's so true. And the thing is, like, we latch on to the things that we find that help.
Yeah.
And we're constantly in search of a thing that will help.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a very human experience outside of transness. You know, it's like anyone on the journey of trying to feel like fulfilled in life is constantly in search of the new thing that will help us feel closer to ourselves or more in alignment, more content with our physical, emotional, spiritual being.
Yeah.
It is hard in these moments when it feels like we're falling away from alignment.
Yeah.
And it's like, feels like in a dream when you're like running and it's just, you're getting farther away as you're running closer to it.
Yeah. And it's like, but the thing that that gives me hope about it is that, like, I know what it feels like to feel almost free from dysphoria.
Yes.
I know that it's always going to be there kind of looming in the background, but like there have been moments in my life, stretches of time where it has been so quiet, I've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And that's such a gift.
It is.
And because I've experienced it, I know that it's possible. And I think like I've surprised myself over and over and over again, and life has surprised me over and over and over again. So I know that maybe the way that I approach like relieving dysphoria is going to have to change over time. And, but I know it's possible. You know, I just have to know that like there's always a solution. And my solution now is jump rope.
Jumping rope.
I jump rope now almost every day.
Up and down, up and down, up and down.
It's been a few days of jumping rope. My body has already changed.
It's so that easy.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Jump rope.
Yeah.
Pretty much eating the same exact stuff, just jumping rope now.
Yep. It's interesting how jumping rope is gender affirming care all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, I guess this is 30.
Honestly, free jump ropes for all trans people
over 30.
Honestly, trans people shouldn't have to pay for jumping rope.
Insurance should cover that. It's not cosmetic.
I love that.
Yeah, the first day I tried it, I was so bad at it, and then I was like reckoning with my like lack of connection to my inner child, because I was like, Have I really not jumped rope for so long?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to do it.
That's so funny.
And then I got back in the swing of things. It's just like riding a bike.
Have you ever thought of hula hooping?
I have thought about hula hooping a lot.
Really?
I have thought about it a lot.
Too much.
Not about exercise or relieving dysphoria. I just think about it.
We do have badminton.
We do, and we were winded when we played that.
That is not an easy game, especially when you're playing on a hill.
No, yeah. We have a hill that's a lawn that's a hill.
Yeah.
And it's not a subtle hill.
It's not conducive to badminton.
No, but it was fine.
It worked.
It was fine. But yeah, so, you know, I thought outside the box. The thing is, like, I used to run a lot.
Yeah.
And then, but here, we live in a cobblestone heavy neighborhood with a lot of hills.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to twist my ankle.
It's amazing. There's
a 30.
It's amazing that you enjoy running. That's amazing.
I guess I don't anymore because of the cobblestones.
Yeah, but like you, if things were different, you would run.
If we lived on a flat ground, yeah, I'd run.
I'm too scared of my knees. Every time
they whisper,
dirty nothings to me. I'm scared of them.
Yeah, they're scary.
I'm scared, of hurting my knees. My joints feel more fragile than ever.
That's saying something, because they've been fragile for our entire relationship. Ever since I met you, you've been afraid of your knees.
I'm afraid of my knees. Yeah. Well, it's because when I was 21, was I 20? No, I was 24. 2019. Yeah, I was 24. I'm pretty sure I had a knee injury when I was really drunk on tequila and I walked to a bar, like a mile to a bar in Stilettos in Brooklyn, and danced and fell. Oh my gosh. So I went to this show, this nightclub musical, and the show, before the show started, they were playing like dance. Oh my God, this story is so embarrassing. They're playing really fun music.
Okay.
I start dancing like crazy. All my friends are there. So much fun. I'm dancing so hard that people think the show is starting. So people start circling. I'm drunk. I'm drunk, drunk, drunk on tequila. People start circling around me, watching me dance, like, hey, hey, hey. And then I ate shit. I ate major shit. Pretty sure I tore my meniscus or something.
Whoa.
And then everyone realized in that moment that this wasn't a part of the show, and they started just awkwardly just dispersing.
This is just some drunk twink. Yes. In Stilettos.
So embarrassing. I walked all the way home and my leg did not feel good.
Wow, you had to walk after that too.
Yeah, I walked home and I was like, and my leg was like giving out. I know, and ever since.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. And I just, I've really been in denial about that for a really long time.
Well, I remember you tried to go to the doctor one time. I was there for it.
Right, you were.
You were like, my knee is, it's wrong.
And they were like, no.
And they were like, let's do some x-rays, right? Didn't they do an x-ray?
Yeah, we did x-rays and they found nothing wrong.
They found nothing wrong. And they were like, you dumb woman, you're just making it all up.
Yeah, but it's like I didn't break my bone.
Welcome to womanhood.
It's like if I tore my meniscus, they wouldn't be able to see that on an x-ray.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to get an MRI.
Yeah, but you can't get an MRI unless you prove that you've tried physical therapy. I did try to go to physical therapy, and then the person, like...
Oh, he was bad.
He was like, talking to me about Drag Race, and I was like, why are you bringing this up?
Who was the doctor that mentioned Thailand?
That was when I was sick for Thanksgiving before you proposed to me, and I wanted to feel good because I like felt it coming. And I wanted to get like a Z-Pack or something. And so I went on like ZocDoc, or I don't know. It was one of those online doctor things. And he was like, oh, so you're on estrogen. You ever been to Thailand?
They got a lot of you over there. Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
I've been to Thailand and there were a lot of you over there.
There were a lot of you. It's just all me.
It's just all you.
Wow.
Like, oh my God. Crowds of you. No, there were a lot of trans women trying to offer me massages. Ooh. And I was like, I don't think you are going to know what to do with me.
That's what you think.
Yeah, it is what I thought.
Right.
I've dreamt of having like an erotic massage before, but then it's like, you know, like, what are they really going to do?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
Yeah, there's really no,
There's no, like, standard procedure for fingering a trans man in an erotic massage setting.
I feel like there has to be a way and a place.
There's got to be somebody who specializes in fingering erotic massages.
But it's hard. It's a needle in a stack.
Yeah, you got to really find that.
Yeah.
I bet that they're on rentmen.com.
Probably.
I used to be on rentmen.com.
Yeah, you did.
I sold my body for money.
Yeah, they rented you out. Signed a lease.
It was really lucrative.
Really lucrative.
Yeah.
Remember that time where you had a lovely experience and then got $3,000?
Yes. Yeah. I used to go by Charlie.
Ah.
Isn't that cute?
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Charlie's a cute name for you.
Thank you. I thought so too.
We were together.
I know. We were together. We were dating?
Yeah.
We were dating. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm about to go meet up with this guy. And I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he just cried to me about his dead parrot. He was...
Parrots live to their really long, right?
I know. Yeah. And he had him for a long time. Wow. And then he cried a lot during our session.
Right.
He used up the hour and then was like, he had to pay for another hour.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because he hadn't gotten to the good part.
And then I remember, like, he was like, I can't see you again because I'm going to fall in love with you.
Yeah, he did say he was going to fall in love with me. And then he said, like, take this money and
fly.
He was like, either take this money. He gave me a choice or something. It was like, take this money and never see me again, or don't take it and then be my, like,
lover.
And right. I was like, give me the money.
I'll take the cash. I'll take the cash. I didn't know, like, that part.
Girl. please. I was like, I need money. Yeah, that's why sure. I'm here.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was really, I did the boyfriend experience.
Yeah, I remember you having a positive experience with that guy, though. He was really respectful.
He was very respectful, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went on a seeking arrangements date once, which I've told you about.
Which one?
New York.
I remember.
This like older guy.
You weren't alone, right?
No, there were two other little twinks. And basically it was like $100 for like hanging out.
That's not enough money.
I agree. And so I like I went there and had a basically he bought me Mexican food. I had like a margarita, and he brought us all back to his apartment and basically like showed off his apartment building. But the apartment itself was really small and smelled like cat litter. There were cats. And then he basically was like you want to stick around and like play with us? And I was like, no, I really don't. Like, I'm just here. Because I had a friend who was doing it who, like, basically would just watch movies with men. And it was a woman. So it was a different, like, I don't know. It's different.
It's different.
And
women are different than men.
It's different.
You heard it here.
And so I really thought that just, like, hanging out with me would get me money. And then I left and he was like, well, you don't get paid if you don't play. And I was like, okay, well, that's not what I agreed to. This is seeking arrangements. And the arrangement that we agreed to is that I hang out, you pay me.
$100.
Yeah, I needed to pay rent the next day. I was so upset. I wasted that day and all I got was a margarita.
That's awful.
It was horrible. Never did it again.
I did one seeking arrangements.
Yeah.
And it was a doctor man who felt promising because he was a doctor.
Right.
And thought, oh, they have money. But so we went to Doomy's Vegan Paradise, Vegan Soul Food, Vegan something, I don't know, in LA. Mm. I was vegan at the time. And it was like to test out to see if we would be a good match. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me a bunch of religion questions.
Oh.
And I was really like heavy, heavy spiritual at the time.
Mm.
And I answered some questions about like what I believed in. And he said we weren't a good match.
Oh, wow.
He told me I was crazy.
Because
I believed that, like, that love was all there was. And that, like, the Bible wasn't literal.
Wow.
He was an atheist, though. He was an ex-hardcore fundamentalist Christian. So he knew the Bible really well. And then was like, nope, you're wrong.
Fascinating.
That's not what the Bible teaches. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm not saying I'm a Christian.
Right.
And then he was like, well, I'm an atheist. And I was like, okay.
Wait.
Interesting. Then he paid for dinner and then we hugged and parted ways. And then he texted me and was like, I really loved hanging out.
Oh my God.
After he told me I was crazy and that I was wrong.
Wow.
And then I was like, well, I don't think we're a good match. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, but like, it's not going to work out. Thanks for dinner. And then he sent me a paragraph of like just nonsense, horrible stuff about how crazy I was.
My goodness.
And I was like, okay, that's fine.
That's absurd. Good thing now the only arrangement I'm seeking is rearranging your guts.
With your whole head.
With my entire head. Good circle around.
Around town. Yeah, no one's going to want to pay us anymore because we're too old. We're too old for that.
We leave our 20s and we immediately turn to ash.
Everyone who meets us who finds out we're 30 is like, oh,
you're not 30.
I thought you were younger.
Yeah. Age is where the heart is.
Age is where you fart from.
Home is not your age. Home is the four walls in your
home
heart.
Home is a house on the top of a hill that you look out from and you see a beautiful lake
of a view. Okay, right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Trans in Love.
So this is pretty much Trans in Love.
This is what trans people in love talk about.
Pretty much, yeah, it sums it up.
Yeah. I feel like next week we should talk about the holidays.
And I thought you were going to say the Holocaust.
No. I mean, we'll never forget. We could talk about it, but I don't think we're the ones to talk about it. I love you so much.
Clink.
Cheers. Anyway, tune in. Sign up to our Patreon if you want to see full video episodes. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'd want to watch.
Well, see you next week if you're nasty.
Bye.
Bye. So let's talk about being trans.